Why, hello there. Welcome into the Patriots Podcast. It's a Week 6 preview edition. Sean here with JJ.
Hello.
What are you laughing about? Laughing about my intro? Why don't you do one of these intros, huh?
Because that's your job. You sounded very southern.
Very southern, is that right?
Why, hello.
Why, hello, you know what I'm saying? What can I say? I'm just happy that the Patriots are on to Cincinnati.
I know, right? I've been waiting for to hear just that Belichick clip. He's probably going to be smiling when he says it, too.
I wonder if he hasn't even said it yet, but yeah.
I don't think he has had a press conference yet.
Oh, beautiful.
Or, I don't know, maybe.
It's going to be entertaining when he does.
It's going to be awesome. It's going to be great.
This is our first time since we played the Cincinnati Bengals. Week 5, 2014 season, ended with the Super Bowl, just saying. Mm-hmm. And we started out that season 2-2. We were coming off our Week 4 big time loss to Kansas City, and we basically got Gronkowski loose in that game, and we just ran over the Bengals, who were 3-1 at the time. They were the best team in the AFC, at least so far that season. Mm-hmm. And so it would be lovely to have a repeat performance of that once again. It's at home. It's at Gillette. The Bengals, it's almost like a role reversal. The Bengals are coming in off of one of their worst losses in recent
years. They're having a tough time.
Well, have you looked at their schedule? They played the Jets, the Steelers, the Broncos, Dolphins, and the Cowboys. Three of those games on the road.
I mean, the Jets aren't looking too good. Miami is doing a full offensive meltdown mode where they're just cutting everybody.
Well, those are the two teams they beat. They lost to the Steelers, Broncos, and Cowboys, two of those on the road.
Yeah.
It's really not that bad. I mean, the really bad thing was the way they looked against Dallas. They looked like shit.
They looked terrible. They looked Dallas doesn't have a defense. I don't even know who they have on defense.
Yeah, Andy Dalton was under pressure the entire game, and I was sitting there going, who the hell is Dallas using to rush the passer?
Right. I mean, I don't know. And they scored 28 points on Cincinnati's defense?
Pretty easily, too.
Yeah, I mean, Dak Prescott's playing well, but I mean, 28 points?
Did you see how Ezekiel Elliott was running the ball? He was running through.
He just ran it through them. I mean, it was kind of a joke.
You could have driven a truck through those lanes.
Yeah. Dallas has always had a great – they have a great offensive line.
But they annihilated the Bengals front. Annihilated.
Dak was 18 for 24, though. 227 yards and touchdown. I mean, not impressive, but the guy went 18 to 24. That's, you know.
Now you understand what I've been saying here for the last 2 months.
About Dak?
Yeah.
Forget about Dak. 75% completion percentage is insane.
Yeah, it's pretty damn good.
That just, I mean, you have to be a good quarterback, obviously, but for a defense to let up 75%? You know, this is a defense with, they've got all kinds of guys. Their two defensive tackles are great. Geno Atkins is incredible. Domeda Peko, or however you say it, is good. Vontaze Burfict is a hard-hitting guy. Carlos Dansby has a pretty lengthy, you know, good history.
Ray Maluga, same. Those guys are not the fastest linebackers, but they should be just fine against the run.
Right. Carlos Dansby, really good defensive end. Dre Kirkpatrick.
Whoa. Carlos Dansby's a linebacker. You think Carlos Dunlap?
Dunlap. Did I say Dansby? I'm sorry. Yeah.
Dunlap is super good. I don't know.
He's a great player. Like, you know, they've got some pretty good players on this team. And they let a rookie quarterback go 18 for 24 and a rookie running back 15 attempts for 134 and two TDs. He had 260-yard runs. What are they doing?
Absolute backbreaker in the second half.
Defensive team, you know? The offense couldn't keep up. Well, it doesn't look it.
I know, right? And on the back end, the Bengals' defense is good, too. I mean, they got Adam Jones on one side, Dre Kirkpatrick.
Yeah.
Darquez Dennard, who's a former first-round pick. They got George Iloka at strong safety, or I guess free safety, however you want to phrase it. But he's 6'3", 220.
Yeah.
Lays the boom. That's the thing. That's always been the thing about this Bengals team is you look at their roster and you're like, this team has no holes.
Right.
It's been like 3-4 years of that, like pretty much ever since Andy Dalton got there.
And they can't win.
I mean, they win some. That's the thing.
But they don't win anything that means anything.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I don't have any wins I can remember watching Cincinnati go, oh my God, what a win for Cincinnati. Never.
I remember it. They beat the Broncos last year. It might have been 2 years ago. Drake Kirkpatrick had like 2 or 3 picks.
In the playoffs?
No. It was in December.
Well, maybe that was last year. Anyway, I don't know. And then you look at this offense. I mean, like you said, not a lot of holes. They usually have a pretty solid offensive line. I don't know about – I haven't done much research on it this year. How are they holding up?
Well, they have good, experienced guys. The problem is Cedric Ogbuehie. I never figured out how to say his name. It's Ogbuehi, something like that. He was a first-round pick out of Texas A&M. All the talent in the world that you could ever ask for a tackle. He basically redshirted his rookie year, and now they plugged him in at right tackle, and it's just not going well. I mean, he's got long-ass arms. He's got great feet. He's got a good build, but I don't know why he just can't put it together.
Well,
the rest of the line's good. I mean, Andrew Whitworth, solid player. Clint Bowling, Kevin Zeitler. I think Zeitler might have missed this game. He might have been injured. I can't remember.
So, decent offensive line. Nothing spectacular. I mean, they've always had a good running game with Jeremy Hill and Giovanni Bernard. Haven't done much this year. And then they got A.J. Green. Still missing Eifert. Is he going to be back for this or no?
They think this is going to be his first game back.
So he might come back, he might not. Whatever. And then Bielefeld is playing pretty well for them, surprisingly.
Yeah, they've been getting them the ball a lot.
8 receptions last game, that's a lot. But, I mean, you look at what Dallas, as we said, I mean, I don't know Dallas's defensive rankings, really, but I know they're not very, they can't be that good. I mean, no one ever talks about Dallas's vaunted defense anymore, or has in a couple years. And they essentially shut the Bengals out until the fourth quarter.
Yeah, like I said, some of that had to do with Obuye at right tackle, and a lot of it had to do with Jeremy Hill just not being in the game. He got hurt. He only had 4 carries. He didn't start the game. He came in with an injury, and it seemed like he re-aggravated it.
Yeah.
So that really made their offense one-dimensional because, you know, Jeremy Hill is like a 230-pound back. Giovanni Bernard, not the same guy.
True.
Now, I've been saying for years that Giovanni Bernard needs to get more touches. And so for the first time, as far as I can remember, Bernard actually started. And he only got 9 carries, but he went for 50 yards. He had 6 catches on 6 targets for another 46. I mean, the guy had 13 touches, 96 yards. He always seems to put up really good numbers like that, and I would expect to see a heavy dose of Giovanni Bernard this week, especially if Jeremy Hill isn't going to be able to go.
Just for those wondering, Dallas defense, roughly mid pack, a little better. 8th in points allowed, 16th in total yards, 19th against the pass, 11th against the rush. So
it's okay. Always hard to do those when you're like a month into the season.
But I mean that's all right. I mean they're okay. Shutting out the Bengals, good. I wouldn't have, you know, till the fourth quarter, 14 points. I would have expected more from the Bengals.
Yeah, same. Absolutely the same. And it's not like there were a lot of turnovers. I mean the Bengals, I don't think they had any turnovers. Did they? No turnovers for the Bengals. In fact, the Cowboys had a turnover. So, I mean it's not like it was some freak type of game where there were a bunch of fumbles or picks. Nope, they just got flat out beat on both sides of the ball.
I mean, Dalton didn't even have that bad of a game. 29 for 41 for 269 and 2 TDs.
He was on the run a lot. A whole lot. Which, I mean, that bodes very well for the Patriots because, like we said at the top, Cowboys not known for their pass rush. And the Patriots are sitting here with, like, I mean, we're like 4 or 5 deep at defensive end.
I would argue it's arguable that we have one of the better pass rushes, even, you know, I don't know about the best, but up there.
Deep, very deep.
7 or 8, I can get after it.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about, I mean, every time I see Trey Flowers out there, I'm like, this guy is really good.
He's good. He's a good player. Chris Long is, I mean, he hasn't shown up the last couple weeks, but he's been playing great for what he's supposed to do.
And that's not even mentioning, I mean, Jabal Sheard, Ninkovich is now back, Jamie Collins and Hightower, what they can bring in that phase of the game. Shea McClellan, if he's healthy.
Malcolm Brown, 2 sacks last week. Alan Branch can overpower guys when he feels like it sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So if Dallas is giving these guys a run for their money, boy, oh boy, are the Patriots going to have fun. I expect Chris Long. I'm call it 2 sacks.
Sacks for Chris Long? He hasn't put up the stats this year, but he has definitely been productive.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to think that the Patriots' defensive mentality is going to be, all right, A.J. Green's not in this game anymore. And then
let's... A.J. Green's hurt?
No. I mean, their mentality is going to be take him out of the game.
Yeah.
It's going to be, we're going to play 9-on-10, whatever it takes. But that dude, that's a bad man. A.J. Green's averaging over 100 yards per game this season.
Yeah, he's pretty much killing it.
He's a stud. And, I mean, you expect him to get the Logan Ryan, Devin McCourty treatment, like that DeAndre Hopkins treatment. Mm-hmm. To a higher extent, because A.J. Green has a higher top-end speed and can get deeper. So, I mean, that's the start of it. Then you got to worry about Giovanni Bernard getting out of the backfield. You got to think about Andy Dalton extending plays with his legs. And then if Tyler Eifert's back, that's a really tough matchup. I mean, don't forget, Tyler Eifert, I think, had like 10 touchdowns through 10 games last season or something.
Pretty impressive last year.
I mean, he was putting up touchdowns like it was his job. I mean, it is.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to worry about him in the red zone. That's something. I mean, that's a tough task for Patrick Chung. I really wouldn't want Jamie Collins in that role, even though body size fits up perfectly.
Yeah, I mean, something that you could always do with that too is just the chip. DeAndre linebacker chips him.
Yep.
Throws him off a little bit. That always works to some extent.
So we'll see if he's able to come back. For Brandon LaFell, I mean, I don't really have a secret strategy for him.
Throw
make
him the ball.
Make him catch it with his ball. Hands.
Yeah, he's going to fucking drop it. It's going to happen.
Oh, you're talking trash now about Boogie JoJo. Oh, my God, I almost called him Boogie.
Boogie.
JoJo.
Yeah, I don't know. He was a little disappointing. I thought he was going to be great last year, and he had a good first year with us, the second year not so much. Maybe that's what he's going to do for the Bengals.
Yeah, maybe. If Jeremy Hill's able to go, that brings a whole other element to this offense. They can have a real smash mouth edge if they want.
Well, they haven't been running the ball that much.
He's been doing okay. I mean, not great. He's got 233 yards on the season. If you take out last game where he only had 4 carries, then that's 230 yards through 3 games. It's over 70 a game.
Yeah.
Almost 80.
It's all right.
He's doing okay.
Overall, the Pats defense has been playing pretty good. You know, they've let up one or two good drives from guys, you know, from teams and stuff that you wouldn't expect. Patriots are only allowing 14.8 yards per, or 14.8 points per game.
Yeah, that shutout really helps.
That's it. Still, no one's really out. Miami?
Yeah, Miami was the real high score.
They're the only ones that scored over 20, I think.
The Cardinals were in the 20s.
Did they get in the 20s?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, I don't even remember.
Well, yeah, you're talking 21. About 23-21, we beat them.
Okay. But, so, you know, they can kind of stick it to them, especially with the pace people are going to have to keep up with now that Brady's back. It's going to be even nicer for the defense. You were talking about rushing yards for the Bengals. 26th in the league with 83 rushing yards per game.
Okay, I was going to say, they have way more than 83.
83 per game.
Yeah, okay.
Not too impressive.
Andy Dalton's got 23 carries through five games. Almost five per game.
Wow.
Now he'll take off every so often. He's got some pretty good feet. Now, you mentioned Brady putting the pace on. That brings us to the Bengals' defense. We went over this before, but, I mean, where is the weakness in this defense? Maybe the linebackers and coverage? None of those guys are known for their coverage abilities.
Yeah. Well, I mean, giving up 28 to the friggin' Dallas offense without Dallas's arguably two best players in Romo or
Dez,
you know, 28 points. I mean, what the hell is going on? You said, like you said, they were, I don't know. You know, I don't know how the hell they were doing that.
First of all, they ran the ball down their throats, made them look silly. So, I don't.
Which is surprising. I mean, Geno Atkins and Tomato Paco in the middle with Maluga and Perfect. It's like, isn't that a run defense in itself?
Yeah, exactly. Never mind Carlos Dunlap playing D-end at 295.
Yeah. Like, what's going on there?
Yeah, it's really surprising. Everybody knows the Cowboys' offensive line is terrific, and everybody knows that the Patriots' offensive line doesn't hold a candle to it.
Mm-hmm.
So whether or not we can even, like, recreate a fraction of what they were able to do down in Dallas, what it probably did is expose some people's weaknesses, at least, you know. It's not like these are fresh players, that these are weaknesses that, you know, is inherent in them. It may be an age-related. I mean, Perfect is coming off a suspension. It's only going to be his third game of the season coming up this weekend. Maluga's up there in age. Dansby's up there in age. Neither one of them was really known for their feet at any point.
Mm-hmm.
So it might be about counters. It might be about trying to move them, test their movement abilities.
Well, good luck to him, because I'm looking at this roster. Who do you think can cover a tight end?
George Iloka is the right size. I don't know how they use him in coverage, but like I said, like 6'3", 220. It's a big safety. But as I started off the show with, Gronkowski went off on this Bengals team 2 years ago. That was the last time we played them. So if they have figured it out,
mm-hmm,
between then and now, I don't know if they have. I mean, they do get to see Tyler Eifert in practice every day when he's healthy.
Yeah, but now we have two Gronks.
I know. We're going to be saying this every single week. I mean, what in the world are you going to do with that? No,
what are you going
to
do?
And everybody in the NFL is saying that. They're like, I don't know. I didn't even know what to do with one of them.
No one knows. I mean, and you got that element. Plus, they just let up however many rushing yards we were talking about.
Yep.
So, you know, if they go to this hurry up, they put Blount in there and go, all right, you know what? We're going to run it down your throat. And then we're going to take the two tight ends and split them out wide. Have fun.
Exactly.
Enjoy. You know, if we can rush, so, you know, obviously probably not as well as Dallas, but anywhere comparable to Dallas, and then you split the friggin' tight ends out wide, what are they going to do?
Exactly.
They won't have the personnel in the game. They won't ever, they don't have the personnel, you know, no matter what. Never mind who's going to be in there to stop the run, and then you just split these two big guys out wide, and they run straight down the field. And it's like, well, you're screwed.
100%. You know? 100%, yeah. We didn't really see that much of it this week.
No, they really, I mean, it was definitely a very tight end oriented game plan, but they didn't even scratch the surface of what the potential is. They're waiting.
Blount has been catching the ball more this year. Granted, he doesn't have that many catches, but they've been at least featuring him slightly in the passing game. So
they're getting it ready.
Yeah, exactly. They're getting the foot in the door for him contributing in the passing game to make it a legitimate formation when you can have Blount out there for run and pass.
Well, also James White, I mean, they gave him more carries last week, and he looked pretty good running the ball for the first time that I can even remember. So, a game, you know, coming into this game where you, like you were saying, they have noticeably slow linebackers. Good luck, you know, one of them covering James White. That is a mismatch every single time.
Oh, one, but, yeah, absolutely.
So I could see kind of, I could see kind of a big game from James White.
That's what I would be betting on. But you know, after watching last week, you would think a big game for Blunt.
Yeah, one of them. Maybe both.
Yeah, could be both.
Probably everybody. Why not?
Let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. This is a playoff team from last year. This is a team that before Andy Dalton hurt his thumb last season
was a legitimate contender.
They were tied for first place in the conference.
Well, this is Tom Brady's first home game back.
Oh, the crowd is going to go wild.
This game
wild.
Is pretty much nailed in the coffin in my mind. Like, what you know, the guy's going to be losing his shit. Did you see him last game? We really didn't talk about, you know, Brady the leader, really, in the podcast earlier that we did for the, you know, the recap. He was third quarter. He's over there. He's talking to linemen. He's yelling at the linemen. When Marty went down, he's over, you know, looking at Marty. Are you all right? Is everything, you know, he was all over the place. And not only did he play incredible, he was in every phase of the game that he could, you know, that makes sense for him to be in. It was incredible. He's over there hammering at the linemen, hammering at the, you know, receivers, telling everyone what to do, what needs to be done. The guy is ready to go. And a team that just gave up 20.8 points to Dallas, that, you know, the Bengals do have their backs against the wall a little bit. Not so much, a little bit. They're 2-3. The wheels aren't off the bus yet, and they're in panic mode. But they're kind of close. They're getting there.
And they're getting there.
One or two more losses, they're going to be there.
They're already a game behind the Ravens for second place in the division.
And they have to come to New England with Tom Brady getting his first home game. I mean, that's a shit spot for them to be in.
I wish they had a counter for how many times Brady yells, "Let's go!"
Yeah.
He does it constantly.
I can't see them matching that intensity or keeping up. I can't see them keeping pace. Well, not even close.
Yeah, it's. I mean, could you imagine a tougher position for them to try to come back?
Yeah.
After what happened last week, after that dismantling, and now they have to try to quickly rebound by going on the road to Tom Brady's coming home party.
I know it's
tough spot.
It's a terrible spot. It's as bad as it could get. Yeah. Pretty much in the NFL. I mean, look at. You see the crowd in Cleveland last week? Like, this is going to be at home.
Yeah, that was mostly Patriots fans there. Never mind the maniacs that are going to show up for this game.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy. It's going to be just crazy. Like, for every touchdown the Bengals score, Brady's going to score two or three. Like, that's just what's
going
to happen.
That's how you see this going down?
Kind of. Like, he is going to be unstoppable.
Yeah. I guess that's it. That brings us to predictions. I think that the Bengals, they'll score some points. I mean, even against the Cowboys, they still put up 14 late ones. So I would expect to see 17 from the Bengals, and I think the Pats are going to put up 31.
Yeah, I'm actually really close to that. I was going to say 38-17.
38-17?
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah.
Woo-wee. Yeah, that'll be nice.
He's going to start, and he's not going to stop.
Talking about Brady.
Yeah.
So that's a 1 o'clock game on Sunday. The Thursday night game this week, Denver is going to San Diego. That's usually a fairly close game when it's in San Diego. When it's in Denver, it's usually blowout.
Well, that's an interesting one.
Trevor Siemian's going to be back for the Broncos. The Chargers are coming off, you know, however many heartbreaking losses this whole season's worth. Yeah, that'll be fun.
This could be the downside, the slide for the Broncos you were kind of talking about.
This is it's a tough matchup for them.
Especially on a Thursday night. Their coach, did you hear what happened? Their coach's in the hospital. He's not going to be at the game.
Exactly.
I mean, all that stuff, that's, you know,
he's
not
their
good
play
for them.
Caller, right? He's the offensive play caller.
He was. I don't know if he continued that this year. He always has been.
Yeah.
So you got all that
for them.
And it's a short week, so it's not only, you know, they figured out Monday, they figured out yesterday that their head coach isn't going to be coaching. You know, you might try and play harder for that, but that's tough, especially game planning wise. I mean, all that just throws a whole wrench into your this routine that they've kind of probably been going on. Not to mention they don't have their starting quarterback.
Well, he's coming back.
You said Simeon's playing?
Yeah, Simeon's going to play.
Oh, okay. But that changed things a little bit.
It's tough. Short week, no head coach. First game back for your starting quarterback, who's also in his first year starting, against a divisional opponent on the road. I mean, there's a lot of complicating factors in this game. So it's an opportunity for them to get upset.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The next big game for the Pats would be the Bills are hosting the Niners on Sunday. Doesn't sound great, considering the Niners are, 1-4, 0-5, something like that?
1-4. Kaepernick is actually going to start.
How about that?
Pretty ridiculous.
Why not? I mean, at one point in time, he was a Super Bowl quarterback. Super Bowl starter, not winner.
Fucking politics. Colin Kaepernick.
Oh, the face of the afro of politics.
Yeah, right. I know. I'm actually kind of curious to see if the
guy gets I'm rooting for him real hard. Mostly because it's against the Bills, but also because I mean, you can't fall off a cliff that much.
I know. What happened? How are you that bad? Why is Blaine Gabbert starting over you? Like, you went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You led a team to the Super Bowl. You know, it's not like he was like, you know.
He wasn't along for the ride.
Exactly. He's not one of those quarterbacks like a Trent Dilfer who was just like backed up by the best defense. Like one of the best defenses ever. I mean, at the time, San Francisco had a pretty good defense, but he was throwing passes all over the field. He was running. People didn't know what to do.
Yeah, remember that playoff game against the Packers, right?
Yeah, it was a great game.
And he ran all over the Packers.
They couldn't stop him.
He was throwing it to Vernon Davis. Yeah, I mean, once upon a time, he was a really, really good football player. So I would love to see him come back, especially for the Niners. I mean, epic franchise, and they are just on real hard times since Jim Harbaugh decided to bail.
And because everyone left with him.
Half the defense retired. And then Anthony Davis, their starting right tackle, retires, sits out a season, comes back, and before playing a down, retires again.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't even know that.
He might have played a couple games this year.
That was earlier this year?
Yeah, but he came back for the season, and he already retired again.
Damn.
It's over.
Damn.
Yeah, you think what he just needed like a couple more paychecks?
Probably.
Just a little more.
You got the Eagles versus the Redskins. The Eagles finally lost last week, so we'll see what they have left. That's a big divisional game for the Redskins if they want to stay in the hunt.
Yeah, that should be a tight game.
Yep. Browns, Titans, no one gives a shit about that. Ravens, Giants, that's going to be ugly. The Giants have looked ugly. I don't know how they've won so many games, but they just don't look good.
I know, right? And I hope the Ravens keep losing.
I want them to keep losing, but I don't
want to see that team
either. Like, I want them. It would be a nice tie. This would be a perfect game for a tie. You know, it just fucks their standings.
What else we got?
Panthers Saints. Like 2 years ago, that game would have been incredible.
Yeah. I mean, even last year. Is Cam Newton going to play? Is he going to have his brain straightened out?
I don't know. And their defense, what's going on with it? Their defense doesn't look good. Their offense doesn't look good. Nothing looks good about them.
Luke Kuechly still looks good. I was watching that game. Like, that dude is still legit.
Yeah, he's about it. And the Saints, I don't know what's going on with them.
They got a good defense. Not.
Yeah, exactly. Then you got a couple other games here. The Jaguars, Bears, Rams, Lions.
Doesn't matter.
Steelers, Dolphins, that'll be interesting.
No, it won't. Steelers are going to roll. They're going to roll hard.
Dolphins, like, cut their whole offensive line this week.
Isn't that funny?
Three players. Like,
they cut two starters.
your team sucks, so you blame the offensive line again?
Always. Like, it's never the quarterback. Let's give him more money.
Do you see Adam Gase at his last, his last press conference? I felt bad for the guy.
What did he say?
He just looked miserable. Just his demeanor. He's like leaning on the podium like, we're gonna start Tannehill. He's gonna start every game. They're asking about a quarterback change, and he's just like, I know. But he's gonna start. Like, it's just now, of course, the offensive line. Like,
That's just like Belichick in his first round in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Very aggressive with the media. Now he just tones it down.
He just doesn't say anything.
He just doesn't give him anything.
We're on to Cincinnati. That's all he says.
That's it.
What are you going to do this week? We're on to Cincinnati.
That doesn't even make sense.
It's the perfect answer. Well, what do you think about this player? We are on to Cincinnati. It's unbelievable. What else
Kansas
we got?
Kansas City at Oakland. Those are always fun.
That's a good game. That's a hard game. Chiefs defense, though, one of the worst defenses in the league right now.
Is it really? It was so good last year.
Statistically, one of the worst in the league. It's
Justin
very surprising.
Houston hasn't played yet.
Yeah.
He's still in the pup.
Yeah.
And Marcus Peters is a nightmare cornerback. That dude takes the ball away with the best of them.
Hell of a player. You got Falcons, Seahawks. That's going to be a good game. That's a hell of a game.
Oh, shit. That's a great game.
That's probably the best game this weekend.
Woo! Falcons. I want to see how legit they are going into Seattle.
Mm-hmm. I
wow,
mean, that,
that's a tough matchup.
Yeah, that's a huge test for the Falcons. This is to say if they're legit or not. I don't think they're going to be legit.
They just went into Denver and won against the backup quarterback.
Well, they did score. They scored 20-something points.
Yeah.
So we'll see. That's going to be interesting.
Dallas at Green Bay. The 4 o'clock games are out of this world.
Great games, you know? Yeah, 3 great games in a row.
Settle in, folks. Turn on Red Zone and enjoy.
Cowboys-Packers, that's a real good one. Then you got the Sunday night game. Colts-Texans.
I just threw up in my mouth.
I know, right? I just want to see the Colts get spanked.
Exactly. I want to see Vince Wilfork have 2 interceptions.
Spanked. Oh, it would be unbelievable. Monday night game, not so bad. Jets-Cardinals. See if Cardinals got anything left. Jets, I always love to see them lose.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
So
Fitzpatrick, 2 fourth quarter interceptions.
Yeah, right?
That's how it's going to go down.
The guy's got 10 already. 2 a game.
Wait, did he throw any this weekend against the Steelers?
I don't know. Probably. it is kind of funny, though. I was, you know, reading an article on ESPN. You know, the 3 quarterbacks that people were the teams were hesitant on, Jets hesitant on Fitzpatrick. You had the Redskins. They were hesitant on whatever. What the hell's his name?
Kirk Cousins.
Cousins. And then the Broncos didn't want to sign Osweiler. Well, the Broncos didn't sign Osweiler. He got a huge contract, and now he's not playing very good for Houston at all, which is reflective of pretty much every stat they have. you have the Jets, who didn't want to sign Fitzmagic. They signed him right before training camp to a pretty hefty $12 or $13 million deal, whatever it was, and he is playing terrible. And then you got, the Redskins. They franchise-tagged Cousins. They didn't want to give him a big contract, and he's not playing very well either. So,
well,
all
good
those
move
things
by, like, good move by all of them except for the Jets.
Yeah, right.
Well, the Jets only signed him to like a 2-year deal or one-year deal.
I don't know what it was, but it's just funny that these guys were hesitant, and everyone, all the fans, are like, why aren't they signing him? What are they doing? Why aren't they signing him? And then it's like
they know something you don't.
They actually aren't worth the fucking money.
Yeah.
And or you end up in an Andrew Luck situation where the GM's blaming the quarterback getting paid too much on why their defense sucks.
Yeah, you don't want that situation because what is that? It's like a 6-year deal. It's not going away. That problem's sticking around.
All kinds of tension. Not good. Well, all right.
Yeah, this is going to be a fun week. So hopefully the Pats are able to put a good showing together against the Bengals. I would like a comfortable win. I like comfortable wins.
It's going to be a comfortable win.
Those are good. And then, those 4 o'clock games. Holy shit. I didn't realize that there was such a good slate of 4 o'clock games.
It's nice. That's a good lineup.
That's going to be great. Well, enjoy being football fans this weekend. Let's root hard for the Niners. Let's root hard for who are the Denver? Oh, they're playing the Chargers on Thursday night. If we get those 2 wins, I'm happy as fuck. I mean, to go along with the Patriots win. So that'll do it for us here. Thank you guys for tuning in to the Week 6 preview of the Patriots podcast. You can tweet us at the Pats Podcast. All this info will be in the show notes. And we'll be back next week to break down these Week 6 matchups. You heard it here first. See you guys.
Adios.